I have to go upstairs and record something again, so...
Quiet.
Do not...
smash anything.
And do not disturb.
Do not disturb.
Do not come into your room.
You're listening to Pandemic, a podcast from RTE News and Current Affairs on the COVID-19 crisis. I'm Colm O'Mungine, and each week I'll be talking to RTE's correspondents, reporters and others to bring you news, updates and analysis you can trust. We can guarantee you a high quality of information. Sound quality, on the other hand, might vary somewhat. The correspondents and I will be recording this in many cases on mobile devices from home, so please do bear with us. It's Thursday, March 18th, and listener, this is the 80th episode of RTE's Pandemic podcast, and we're going to get straight to the main pandemic story today, the press conference that everyone was waiting for, in which the European Medicines Agency delivered its verdict on the safety of the AstraZeneca vaccine, on which many countries are relying as the main plank in their vaccination strategy. We're going to hear the details of that in a couple of minutes from our Europe editor Tony Connolly, who is listening in. But first, let's hear a chunk of the press conference. Here's Eimear Cook, the EMA's executive director, speaking late this afternoon.
Our expert committee on the safety of medicines, the Pharmacovigilance and Risk Assessment Committee, has now come to a conclusion on the review of cases of blood clots in people vaccinated with AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine. The committee has come to a clear scientific conclusion. This is a safe and effective vaccine. Its benefits in protecting people from COVID-19 with the associated risks of death and hospitalization outweigh the possible risks. The committee also concluded that the vaccine is not associated with an increase in the overall risk of thromboembolic events or blood clots. Now, during the investigation and review, we began to see a small number of cases of rare and unusual but very serious clotting disorders, and this then triggered a more focused review. Based on the evidence available and after days of in-depth analysis of lab results, clinical reports, autopsy reports, and further information from the clinical trials, we still cannot rule out definitively a link between these cases and the vaccine. What the committee has therefore recommended is to raise awareness of these possible risks, making sure that they're included in the product information. Drawing attention to these possible rare conditions and providing information to healthcare professionals and vaccinated people will help to spot and mitigate any possible side effects. We're also launching additional investigations to understand more about these rare cases, and we're conducting targeted observational studies.
That was the EMA's Eimear Cook. Up next, RTE's Tony Connolly. So, Tony, how are you?
I'm good, Colm. Yeah, not bad. No closer to a vaccine yet, but, you know, we're living in hope.
Yeah,
in Belgium, where, yeah, things have been, they are picking up here in Belgium, but again, like a lot of places in Europe, a fairly slow start.
Right. Are you AstraZeneca dependent in Belgium as far as the vaccine rollout goes?
AstraZeneca is playing a fairly big role in Belgium. And in fact, Belgium is one of the countries which kept vaccinating with AstraZeneca despite the concerns over the blood clot issue. So that was an indication that they trusted in AstraZeneca and wanted to keep going, because it has been a slow start, and I think the government is very keen to get things moving, and they are starting to rack up some numbers.
Right, and according to a press conference today, Tony, their position has been vindicated. What was this much anticipated press conference? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this was the European Medicines Agency, and they gave a press conference this afternoon, Thursday. It was initially scheduled for 3 o'clock Irish time, but then it got delayed by an hour. But it was basically the Pharmacovigilance and Risk Committee, that's a bit of a mouthful, in the European Medicines Agency, which decided to review all of the cases that had given cause for concern in a number of member states, Germany being one of them, Denmark, Norway as well. Even though it's not a member state, it had raised concerns about a number of strange blood clot cases among those who had been vaccinated. Now, initially, the EMA had come out fairly quickly to say that it believed the vaccine was safe and that it didn't see there was any immediate causal connection between these rare blood clot cases and the vaccine. But they did say that they would investigate these cases and review all of the clinical data. And this is something that member states had asked them to do. So in a way, the EMA provided cover to those countries which had decided to suspend the use of AstraZeneca. There were 13 countries in all, and in fact, four of them, Germany, France, Spain and Italy, even coordinated their suspension together. So, of course, this cast the whole problem of AstraZeneca and its connection with the ongoing tensions with the United Kingdom into another cycle of blame and recrimination. And again, this is another flare-up, which I think hasn't helped the whole rollout of vaccines. It has become intensely politicized, intensely polarized. And of course, you have to be careful not to fuel the flames of vaccine hesitancy, but you can't be cavalier either if there may be genuine concerns that there is a connection between these strange blood clot events in which a number of people died and the vaccine. So the EMA, under its remit, said, well, we will investigate this thoroughly, and they did. And today they gave their verdict at 5 o'clock Brussels time. That they're based in Amsterdam, used to be based in the UK, of course, before Brexit. And they give a fairly clear-cut verdict that there was no real evidence to link the vaccine and these cases, and that the vaccine was safe and effective and should be used. And that was the reassurance, I think, that a number of governments were looking for.
However, having said that, if people are going to be vaccine hesitant, if people have their doubts about the AstraZeneca vaccine, the line that said they hadn't found or hadn't proven a causal link, but they conceded that it was possible and deserved further analysis, this may make it difficult for countries who are including AstraZeneca, which is, of course, the vast majority of countries, in their vaccine rollout.
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, it wasn't a completely 100% clear-cut, definitive. There is absolutely no risk whatsoever. I think what they were able to say fairly conclusively was that, according to the data, the incidence of these kinds of low blood platelet counts or blood clotting counts or cerebral venous thrombosis cases, that the incidence of those events among those who had been vaccinated, among the vaccinated population, was in fact lower than what you would normally expect for a general population. So that was one thing. But again, they were saying, you know, there may in rare cases be a connection. But of course, if you open up any medicine that you buy over the counter and look through the very, very small print of the instructions that you have to fold out 8 or 12 times, you may see some literature in there which say there, you know, there could be a connection with this condition or that condition. It's part of the risk that you take. But, you know, when you measure that against the overwhelming risk of catching COVID and dying from it or being hospitalized by
it. Or getting blood clots caused by COVID, which is a far greater risk.
Or getting blood clots caused by it. Yes. Yeah. And that point was made by Sabine Strauss, who is the chair of that Pharmacovigilance and Risk Committee in the EMA, that in a sense, you know, blood clots and those kind of thromboembolic events can be caused or brought on by COVID infection. So from that angle, the vaccine will help lower blood clot concerns. So I think by and large, the EMA has given a fairly robust and momentous encouragement to the AstraZeneca vaccine for governments to keep using it and for it to be used as soon as possible. And they did. Eimear Cook, the Irish executive director of the EMA, said, look, thousands of people are dying of this disease. The vaccine will help stop that. It's safe. It's effective. It should be used as a matter of urgency.
Right. It's not the only time this week that AstraZeneca has been in the headlines. There were some robust words of criticism from President Ursula von der Leyen, and I heard some more reaction to it on RTE News this morning. It were political figures accusing AstraZeneca of over-promising and under-delivering, and if the irony of that wasn't lost on people, they were quite hard words anyway coming from Ursula von der Leyen yesterday.
Yeah, so yesterday the European Commission launched its proposals for a vaccine passport, or what they call a digital green certificate. They don't like using the word passport as such. They'd prefer it to be a more medical document. And in the launch of this digital green certificate, she highlighted the latest numbers and figures for the European rollout. And again, you can see that AstraZeneca is falling well short of what it's promised. So she didn't mince her words. She said they had over-promised and under-delivered, underproduced and under-delivered what they had promised. And the figures that she gave were the company was supposed to deliver 90 million doses in the first quarter. That was reduced to 40 million and is now only projected at 30 million. In the second quarter, they were supposed to deliver 180 million doses, but that would only be 70 million doses instead. Whereas the good students, if you like, Pfizer-BioNTech and Moderna, they had met their delivery schedules, 66 million doses from Pfizer in the first quarter. Moderna would produce 10 million. Overall, 200 million Pfizer-BioNTech doses in the second quarter and 35 million for Moderna. And then add to that Johnson & Johnson, 55 million doses in the second quarter. That's the one-shot dose, which is added to the overall inflow of doses for Europe. So I think she was trying to, again, convey a sense of hope and optimism for the second quarter, but scolding quite overtly AstraZeneca. And I think, again, that was in the context of the wider warning that she issued about further export curbs of vaccines if those other vaccine-producing countries like America and the United Kingdom don't start, as she would say, being reciprocal and being open to helping Europe. I mean, this gets back to this ongoing tension between the UK and the EU over vaccines. Europe saying, look, you know, we are exporting, we exported 8 million vaccine doses to the UK. They haven't exported any to Europe. And yet we get criticised for anything we do regarding vaccines. And they were saying that if they don't get a more open reciprocal response from countries that produce vaccines and who may not need as many because they have already vaccinated large parts of their population, then the EU would take action. Now, of course, she has to get approval from member states, and she's going to raise this with leaders next week at a summit in Brussels. But a fairly sharp escalation, if you like, of the whole question about Europe, you know, preventing doses leaving the EU if either they contradict contractual obligations pharmaceutical companies have with member states, or if there is a sense in Europe that other countries are not playing their part and being equally open, as she would put it. And she mentioned that they could invoke Article 122 of the European Treaty, which
says
was last used in, I think, the oil crisis in the early 70s, where, you know, there can be a trade measure used if there is a serious risk to society or whatever. And of course, this was seized on by more Eurosceptic cohorts in the UK, referring to a wartime measure brought in by the the German European Commission president was how the London Times framed it. So you can see how, again, this is escalating tensions. And Dominic Raab, the foreign secretary in America, in Aspen, more or less accusing the EU of acting like tin pot dictators in this instance. But I mean, the clear message from von der Leyen was, look, you know, Europe has exported 44 million doses to 31 countries, and yet we are falling short in Europe, and factories that are European and should be making up the shortfall but are sending vaccine doses elsewhere, that has to stop. We have to start vaccinating our people. And in a sense, she's right, because, you know, those people who criticise the EU for their slow rollout can't very well criticise the EU if they try and reverse that slow rollout by making sure member states get the vaccine doses that they were promised.
Right. Well, I suppose all's fair in love and war. And in this case, between the UK and Europe, it's whatever about it being war, it's certainly not love at the moment. But I think we'll probably pick that up tomorrow in another podcast.
We will.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks a million, Tony.
Well, OK, Colm.
Cheers.
Take care.
Thanks a million. Bye-bye. And the aforementioned other podcast is, of course, RTE's Brexit Republic, in which myself, Tony Connolly, and our London correspondent, Sean Whelan, get deep into the murky waters of Brexit and EU-UK relations. But that's it for another episode of Pandemic. From me, Colm O'Mungoyne, stay safe, take care. Thanks for listening.